I'm listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
This is Global Air Force. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
My friend today, I challenge you too to find out that there's power. It's something magnetic. There's strength that comes from the Word. It builds you up inside. It helps the way you think. Today our message was from the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, and his message was originally titled, What If Jesus Was Never Born? So here he is, Dr. D. James Kennedy.
Our subject today is the vital importance of the Bible. George Gallup tells us, at 27.5 million Americans, 27.5 million Americans read the Bible every day. Are you one of those? If you add those that read it occasionally, the figure rises to 195 million. For some, that is very occasional, I'm afraid. And that leaves some 55 million, or 22%, who never read it at all. We are living in a time when Bible ignorance is widespread. We are a biblically illiterate people, except for a small proportion of those who faithfully and daily study the Word of God. But it is the greatest treasure that we have ever had. It is the indestructible Word of God, the unconquerable Word of God. As Dr. Conrad said, century follows century, and there it stands. Empires rise and fall, but there it stands. Dynasty succeeds dynasty, but there it stands. Kings are crowned and uncrowned, there it stands. Emperors decree its destruction, but there it stands. Despised and torn to pieces, there it stands. Storms of hate swirl about it, but there it stands. Atheists rail against it, there it stands. Agnostics smile cynically, but there it stands. Profane, prayerless punsters caricature it, but there it stands. Unbelief abandons it, there it stands. Higher critics deny its inspiration, but there it stands. An anvil that has broken a million hammers, there it stands. The indestructible Word of God. It is vitally important because not only is it the indestructible Word of God, but also its importance extends to every phase of our lives. William Lyon Phelps said, our civilization is founded upon the Bible. More of our ideas, our wisdom, our philosophy, our literature, our art, our ideals come from the Bible than from all other books combined. That is high praise. Not long ago, it was mentioned even by Newsweek that it was being discovered that the Bible, more than the Constitution even, was the founding document of this country. And the one book that was quoted above all others by the founding fathers of America was the Bible. Now, people like Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the redoubtable atheist, has said that nothing good ever came from the Bible and nobody that amounts to anything believes it. Well, history tells a very different story, Madeleine. Herbert Hoover said, we are indebted to the Book of Books for our national ideals, institutions, and their preservation rests in adhering to its principles. The great Daniel Webster, the Bible is our only safe guide. William James, the psychologist, the Bible contains more true sublimity, more exquisite beauty, more morality, more important history, and finer strains of poetry and eloquence than can be collected from all other books in whatever age or language they may have been written. The great conqueror, Napoleon Bonaparte, said, "The Bible is no mere book, but a living power that conquers all that oppose it." Sir William Gladstone, considered by many the greatest prime minister that England ever had, said, "I have known 95 of the great men of the world in my time, and of these, 87 were followers of the Bible." Sir Isaac Newton, one of the founders of modern science, said, "We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authority in the Bible than in any profane history whatever." President John Quincy Adams, "The Bible is the book of all others to read, at all ages, in all conditions of human life, not to be read once or twice or thrice through and then laid aside, but to be read in small portions every day." Immanuel Kant, profound philosopher, said that the existence of the Bible as a book for the people is the greatest benefit which the human race has ever experienced. And that from a mind of great profundity. If you doubt that, try reading his Critique of Pure Reason sometime. Again, this incredible mind said, "The Bible is the greatest benefit for the human race." John Ruskin, the author and literary critic, "All that I have ever taught of art, everything that I have written, whatever greatness there has been in any thought of mine, whatever I have done in my life, has simply been due to the fact that when I was a child, my mother daily read with me a part of the Bible and daily made me learn a part of it by heart." Would you have your children to grow up to be noble and great young men and women? Then read them the Bible and teach them to hide it in their hearts. President John Adams, one of the founders of our nation and its second president, said, "I have made it a practice every year for several years, to read through the Bible." Andrew Jackson, our seventh president, said, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." And Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of these United States, said this, "In regard to this great book, I have but this to say. It is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. Except for it, we would not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found in it." "Hold fast to the Bible," said Ulysses S. Grant, "as the anchor of your liberty. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives." And Theodore Roosevelt, "If a man is not familiar with the Bible, he has suffered the loss which he had better make all possible haste to correct." And Ronald Reagan, "Inside the Bible's pages lie all of the answers to all of the problems man has ever known. I hope Americans will read and study the Bible. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls." The Bible, indeed, is the most important book that has ever been written. And if you are not reading it, you are impoverishing your life and better make all haste to correct that deficiency. The Bible is important because the Bible is inspired. The Bible is indestructible because the Bible is inspired by God. And God will not let His Word be destroyed. The text that we have today says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and goes on to list those things which it will do. The word inspiration there is a fascinating word. In the Greek, it is theopneustos, a combination of two not unfamiliar words, theos, from which we get theistic, the word for God, and pneumos, from which we get pneumatic, having to do with air or wind or breath. The word literally means God breathed. So it might be more accurate to say that all Scripture is God breathed or expired by God than to say that it is inspired. It is the very Word of God being breathed out by God. As John Calvin said, every word of Scripture is to be taken as if it dripped from the lips of the Almighty. When we say that the Bible is inspired, there are several ways in which that has been denied, and where the church has over the centuries taken a stand. We say that all of the Bible is inspired. This is what is known as plenary inspiration. Now, the Neo-Orthodox and others of a more liberal mind will say that the Bible is not the Word of God, it contains the Word of God. That all of the Scripture is not inspired, just some parts of it. Of course, they've never been able to explain to anyone how you are to know which part is inspired and which is not. But does the Scripture teach this? Listen to the text that I just read. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some of it, not part of it, but all of it. God has inspired it all. And so we believe in plenary inspiration. Some have said, well, the inspiration applies only to the ideas. God has just given people various ideas and they have clothed them in their own words. Well, what does the Bible say? Does it say God spake all these ideas saying? Those of you at all familiar with the Scripture will realize that doesn't ring true. The text, which is repeated many times, God spake all these words saying. In fact, Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, a jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and a tittle is simply a curlicue on the end of various letters in the alphabet. So, not even a word or a letter or even a tiny part of a letter will pass away. God's inspiration deals with the minutest details of it. And if the Bible is plenarily and verbally inspired, then it is infallible. It cannot fail. And the Scriptures, we are told, the Scriptures cannot be broken. They are the infallible Word of God, and no effort of men will ever in any way destroy them. Many are the skeptics who have tried to do just that. They have tried to destroy the Word of God, and they have failed over and over again. And if the Bible is infallible, then it is inerrant, without error. How many times I have heard people say, oh, the Bible is filled with errors or contradictions. And I have found that the unanimous verdict is always the same whenever I simply say, oh, that's very fascinating. I've studied it for 35 years. Would you mind showing me where they are? And, of course, I have seen people back away like this and fearful of even touching the book. And, of course, some of them take it in their hands and they are totally perplexed, dumbfounded. They haven't the faintest idea where to look. They are simply repeating what they have been told or what they have read from some other skeptic. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. This has been the belief of the church down through the centuries. In 90 AD, Clement of Rome, one of the earliest of the apostolic fathers, those that followed immediately after the apostles, in fact, Clement is even mentioned in the Scripture. Clement of Rome said, the Scriptures are the true words of the Holy Spirit. And in the next century, 155 A.D. Tertullian was born, and Tertullian, the great church father, said, "The scriptures are the writings of God." Or Origen, another of the apostolic fathers, 185. "There is not one jot or one tittle written in scripture which, for those who know how to use the power of the scriptures, does not affect its proper work." And the greatest mind of the first 1,000 years of this era was without any question the great Augustine, or Augustine, born in 354. He said, "I have learned to pay them, the books of Scripture, such honor and respect as to believe most firmly that not one of their authors has erred in writing anything at all." Indeed, this has been the view of the church down through the centuries. And this view is not based upon mere blind faith or prejudice, but is based upon solid evidence. I have on numerous occasions in the past spent whole sermons detailing the evidence for the inspiration of the scriptures. I will not take the time to do that today, but I would remind you that it is not blind faith, but it's based upon many infallible proofs. The Bible is the most vitally important book in the world because it is the indestructible Word of God. It is the most important book ever known. It is indeed the inspired Word of God. And lastly, let me say that it is the influence of the Bible which has most benefited humanity of any book that has ever been written. The American patriot and statesman Robert C. Winthrop said back in 1852 some profound words. "Diffuse," he said, "the knowledge of the Bible, and the hungry will be fed and the naked clothed. Diffuse the knowledge of the Bible, and the stranger will be sheltered and the prisoner visited and the sick ministered unto. Diffuse the knowledge of the Bible, and temperance will rest upon a surer basis than any mere private pledge or public statute. Diffuse the knowledge of the Bible, and the peace of the world will be secured." The Bible has done more to lift mankind than any other book. And it's very interesting to note that throughout the world, wherever the knowledge of Scripture has gone, education has been lifted, and with education, also the wealth of the nations has increased. The standard of living has gone up, and wherever knowledge of the Scripture is absent, there follows poverty, crime, immorality of every kind. The influence of the Bible can hardly be measured. These and many other things the Scripture has accomplished in the lives of countless millions of people. How much is the Bible influencing your life? Are you reading it regularly? Is its influence daily making an impact in your heart? Are you part of those 27 million people that are reading it day by day, or the millions of others that read it occasionally, or even those that read it not at all? But my friends, the Bible should be something that we read every single day. It is our soul's food and sustenance. It is vital that we feed upon it. It is like our daily food that we eat. We don't just say, "Oh my, I haven't eaten anything for the last 2 weeks. I better have a bite." We need to eat food regularly to be strong and well, and we need to feed upon the bread of the Word if we're going to be strong. In the Daily Bread, there is a section on the importance of the Word of God, which I think brings something very interesting to our mind. Quoting from Proverbs 13:13, "Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed." A very interesting text. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. So I would ask you, my friend, are you among those that despise it? The author goes on to say, a person's attitude toward the Word of God determines God's attitude toward him. If we seek Him, we will find Him. If we honor Him, He will honor us. If we honor His word, He will honor ours. But those that ignore His words have His promise that in the day of their calamity they shall call upon Me and I will not hear them. You expect God to hear you, but you do not listen to Him. You despise His word. He that despiseth the word shall be destroyed. The benefits of the Bible in your life and the lives of millions is absolutely incalculable. As one has said, it is God's highway to heaven. It reveals the way of eternal life and salvation. It crowns womanhood with beauty and manhood with strength. It furnishes adequate motives for all self-sacrifice. Children grow in character under its influence. Youth is vitalized by its teaching. The commonest work of life is glorified by it. It is a light on the pathway of the darkest night. It is a sun that never sets and shines for all. It leads men to integrity and uprightness. It is a great counselor of bereavement. It drives the clouds from the sky and shelters from the storm. It breaks the chains of the prisoner. It awakens men and women opiated by sin. It warms the heart refrigerated by a cold and heartless world. It is indeed the greatest benefit and boon that God has ever given to men. The ignorance of the Word of God in many places is really tragic. There are vast millions of people in this country that have only the foggiest notion of what the Bible says. Half the people in America can only name half the Ten Commandments. Half the people in America don't know either where Jesus was born or where He died. Half the people in America do not know who wrote the Sermon on the Mount. My friend, without the Word of God, your life will not be a success. You will not find eternal salvation. Faith will not grow without it. You will not have happiness in this life. If you would pursue happiness, then heed those who wrote those words and who gave us those words. And recall that it is in the Scriptures that you will find it. If your life would have guidance and strength to follow that guidance, then you'll find that in the Word of God. If you would have your marriage to be what it would be, or what God would have it to be, then search the Scriptures daily. If you would have your children to grow up and be anything but rebels, then teach them the Word of God. If you would have financial success in business, then work and operate your business according to the principles of the Word of God. We should study the Word of God in church. We should be involved in small groups where we can study it in depth. And most of all, we should study and read it regularly in our daily lives. Are you doing that? If not, you're depriving yourself of something which is most vital. And I would urge you, I would encourage you, I would exhort you, I would challenge you to begin to read that word if you have not before. I'm going to challenge you for just this week to read a chapter of the Bible each day. I'm hoping to encourage you to begin a habit, a lifetime habit. I'm not going to ask you to read it every day for the rest of your life, but I'm going to challenge you to read at least one chapter a day. Billy Graham has said that he reads 10 chapters of the Bible every day, and he outlined how he divides those up. So I'm asking for something very little, but for you it is very big in blessings for your life. Will you read a chapter of the Bible each day for just this one week? I'm going to ask if you will accept that challenge. And I really can't imagine what a person is doing in church if he's not interested in the Word of God, because that's really all that the church has to offer the world. And all of God's blessings through Christ our Savior, said Abraham Lincoln, are communicated through the Word of God. If you will accept that challenge to read a chapter of it each day this week, I'm going to ask that you stand, please. Some of you are having great difficulty getting to your feet. But most of you responded with alacrity, for which I praise God. And I know that God will bless you. And I pray that His Word will accomplish God's perfect will and plan in your life. May we pray.
My friend, today, I challenge you too to find out that there's power. It's something magnetic. There's strength that comes from the Word. It builds you up inside. It helps the way you think. Today, our message was from the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, and his message was originally titled, What If Jesus Was Never Born?
Word in my life gives me hope for tomorrow, forgiveness for the sins of yesterday. Word in my life gives me strength and gives me power when satanic forces come my way. I take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, drive the darkness back the other way. The sickness I avoid, poverty I'll shun, lack of all the misery and strife. It's the Word in my life. In my life fills up valleys and brings down mountains. My path is straight before me every day. The Word in my life, that's the rock that I stand on. When all else fails, His Word won't pass away. The Word in my life makes me one with my Father, to whom I make my petitions known. Believing I receive them, grants them as I stand before His throne. The Word in my life is called Jesus, Savior, Messiah. Is straight before me every day. Well, the Word in my life, that's the rock that I stand on. When all else fails, His Word will never pass away. The Word in my life makes me one.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry.
If our program has been a blessing to you today and God has touched your heart, your mind, or your body, take some time.
You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.